The complexity lies in the operation, right? In the upgrades, the security. To properly secure the Kubernetes cluster, it takes a PhD almost, right? So there's a whole sort of ecosystem dedicated to secure a cluster. But in Kubespace, we can take care of it. We can make sure that the clusters are secure and compliant while still offering the freedom to developers to deploy what they need and they like.
You're listening to Simply Blocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the next episode of Simply Blocks Cloud Commute Podcast. Today, I have another incredible guest. I know I say that every time, but he's really incredible. He's around in the Kubernetes space for quite a while. And I think, Alessandro, the best way is just introduce yourself. Who are you? What you've done in the past, and what are you doing right now?
Well, thank you for having me. Well, I'm Alessandro. Yes, indeed, I'm been around for some time in the cloud native community, right? So I'm Italian, from the south of Italy, and I moved to Amsterdam, where I live currently about 20 years ago to get my PhD in chemistry, and then after. I finished, I moved into IT. That's my career. So I went through different phases, always around open source, of course. I've been an advocate for open source, a user of open source since I could lay my hands on a keyboard. That led me to various places, of course, and various projects. So I started running the DevOps meetup in Amsterdam back in the day. 10, 11 years ago. Then from there, I moved to the OpenStack project and running the OpenStack community here. But when I discovered Kubernetes and what will become the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, I started running the local meetup. And that was kind of a turning point for me. I really embraced the community, embraced the project, and started working on the thing. So basically what I do is to organize the meetup and organize the KCDs, the Kubernetes Community Days, in Amsterdam, in Utrecht, in general, like around the country. That kind of led me through a natural process to be CNCF ambassador, which are people that represent or are so enthusiastic about the way the Cloud Native Computing Foundation works and the community, that are naturally elected to be the face or the ambassadors mm-hmm. for the project, for the mission. At this moment, I still do that. It's my honor and pleasure to serve the community, to create, to run monthly meetups and KCDs and help other communities thrive as well. So the lesson learned in the Netherlands, in the meetups and the conferences, we try to spread them as much as possible. We are always available for other communities to help them thrive as well. So that's me in a nutshell. So all about community. I always say I'm a average programmer, I'm an average engineer, but where I really shine is to organize these events and to get the people together. I get the kick out of a successful event where people form connection and grow together. So that's what drives me, my very core.
I like how you put this. Like, you really shine in bringing engagement to the community, helping people to shine themselves, to grow themselves. I think that is a big part of being a developer advocate or in the developer relation space in general. You love this, like, sharing of information, helping other people to get the most out of it.
Actually, this is I used to be, or I still do, play the bass, electric bass and double bass. So, and the bass player is the person that stays in the back next to the drummer, you know, and it makes the condition, it creates the condition so the other members of the band shine, right? So the guitar player, usually the soloist, that stays in front, but the bass player is the guy that stays back and is happy to create the the foundations and for the music to really shine. And that's maybe my nature, right? So maybe it reflects from the fact that I always played I love playing the bass and be that guy in a band.
I love that. That's a great analogy. I never thought about that, but that is just brilliant. And I actually did the same thing in the past, so there may be some truth to that. So we met a few weeks ago in Amsterdam, actually at AWS Summit Amsterdam. I invited you because I thought you're still with the previous company, but you're doing something new right now. Before that, you were with Solo.io, an API gateway, networking, whatever kind of thing. But you're doing your own thing. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So, it was a great year doing DevRel, and I had so much fun going around and speaking about service mesh, which is something that I really believe is going to. It's something that everybody needs, but I know it's controversial, but it's something that I really, you gotta believe in it. You know, when you are a developer advocate, when you represent a company or a community, the passion is important. You cannot have passion for something you don't believe in, for something that you don't completely embrace. And that was great, and we had so much fun for about a year, a bit more, but then I decided that I'll too young to settle, as always. Like I'm only 48. Come on, I have a good 10 years of engineering work to do. So I decided that that I wanted to work on something else, on something more an idea that I had and I want to see develop, filling a gap in the market and a real need for developers to have a flexible environments to deploy their application. So fulfilling the promises of platform engineering as a self-service platform to deploy applications. So the idea revolves around the namespace. What is a namespace? Of course, it's what the unit of deployment in Kubernetes, really. It's this magical place where developers can be free and can deploy their application without the control, within the guardrails of whatever the sysadmin, the cluster administrator sets. But developers really love freedom, right? So developers don't want to have to interact even with the sysops or sysadmins. In fact, developers love Heroku, right? So Heroku, I think, is the hallmark of developer experience, where you just can deploy whatever you want, all your code, all your applications in a place, and it's automatically exposed, and you can manage by yourself everything about your application. And that's, I want to reproduce that. I want to get inspired by that particular developer experience. Mm-hmm. But because I love Kubernetes, of course, and because I really believe that the Kubernetes API are the cornerstone, the golden standards of cloud native application development and deployment. So I want to offer the same experience, but through the Kubernetes API. So how you do that, and that's of course like this is a evolving product. We are, me and a bunch of people are still working on defining exactly what does it mean and how it's going to work, but the idea is that we offer namespaces as a service. What really matters to developers is not the clusters, is not the VMs or the networks or all the necessary evil that you need to run namespaces. But what really matters is the namespace, is a place where they can deploy their application. So what if we could offer the best of both worlds, kind of what like the promises of serverless computing, right? So you are unburdened by infrastructure. Of course, there is infrastructure somewhere. The cloud is just somebody else's computer, right? So it's not in not in magic, but it feels like magic, because the clever arrangement of servers in a way that you don't see them, but they are still there. So imagine a clusterless Kubernetes. The experience of Kubernetes, the API really, so all the APIs that you learn to love and embrace, without the burden of infrastructure. So
that's the
core idea.
So that means it's slightly different from those app platforms like Fargate or what's the Azure and GCP ones? CloudRun and whatever.
CloudRun, yeah.
So it's slightly different, right? Because you're still having like everything Kubernetes offers you. You still have your CRDs or your resource definitions, but you don't have to manage Kubernetes on its own because it's basically a hosted platform. Is that correct?
Yeah. So those platforms, of course, they are meant to run in single individual application pods, but they don't feel like Kubernetes. I don't understand. For me, because I love it so much, I think developers love to learn also new things. So developers would love to have a Kubernetes cluster where they can do what they like, but without the burden of managing it. But this CloudRun and ACI and Fargate, they are great tools, of course, and you can use them to put together some infrastructure, but they're still limiting in what you can deploy, right? So you can deploy this single container, this single but not, it's not a full-fledged Kubernetes cluster, right? So, and I think it's still crippling in a way that you don't have the full API at your disposal, but you have to go through this extra API layer. It's a bespoke API, right? So you gotta learn CloudRun, you gotta learn ACI, you gotta learn Fargate, but they don't, they are not compatible to each other.
Right.
They are very cloud specific, but a Kubernetes API is cloud agnostic, and that's what I want to build. So what we seek to build is to have a single place where you can deploy in every cloud, in every region, so multi-region, multi-cloud, but through the same API layer, which is pure and simple Kubernetes API.
I can see there's two groups of people. The ones that say, just hide all the complexity from Kubernetes. And you're kind of on the other side. I wouldn't say going all the way, like you want the complexity, but you want the feature set, the possibilities that Kubernetes still offers you without the complexity of operating it. That's my feeling.
Yeah, that's the complexity lies in the operation, right? In the upgrades, the security. To properly secure a Kubernetes cluster, it takes a PhD almost, right? So there's a whole sort of ecosystem dedicated to secure a cluster. But in Kubernetes, we can take care of it. We can make sure that the clusters are secure and compliant while still offering the freedom to developers to deploy what they need and they like. I think I think we underestimate the developers, right? So they love to tinker with the platform, right? So they love freedom, but they don't want the burden even to interact with the operation team. And so the value proposal here is that you don't need an operation team, you don't need a platform engineering team. It's all part of the platform that we offer. And you don't even need an account in Azure or AWS. You can select which cloud and which region to deploy to completely seamlessly and without limits.
Ah, okay. So that means you can select, okay, I need a Kubernetes cluster namespace, whatever you want to call it, in Azure, in Frankfurt, or in West Europe,
yes,
whatever they call it. Okay, so
yeah, it is still a thing, right? So people don't want to be in clouds that don't, right? So if you don't want to be in Azure, you should not be forced to, right? So so we offer several infrastructure pieces, you know, like clusters, even if the word cluster doesn't even appear anywhere, because it's by design. We don't want people to think in terms of clusters. Mm-hmm. We want people to think in terms of namespaces, and specifically tenants, which are just a collection of namespaces,
right?
So it's One namespace is not going to cut it, of course. You want to have multiple to assign to your teams, to group them in environments like dev, prod, or test, and then assign them to your team, to your teams, so they can deploy and have fun with their namespaces and tenants.
Yeah, I think there's one other thing which is also important when you select a cloud and stuff. You may have other applications or other services already in place, and you just want to make sure that you have the lowest latency, you don't have to pay for throughput and stuff like that. Something that I always find complicated with hosted database platforms, to be honest, because you have to have them in the same region somehow.
Yeah, that's also political reason, right? Or commercial reason that prevents you from
fair.
From
there's supposed to be people that love Microsoft for everything.
I love Microsoft, of course, been there for 7 years. I'm not a fanboy, maybe I am a little, but it's all right. I mean,
I agree.
Everybody has that's why the world is a beautiful place. Everybody is entitled to his or her opinion, and that's all right.
I think Microsoft did a great job with the cloud, and in general, like a lot of the changes they did over the last couple of decades, like the last two decades. I think there are still like the teams like the Office and the Windows team, which are probably very enterprisey still, but all of the other ones. And I mean, for me specifically, the Java team at Microsoft, they're all doing a great job, and they seem to be much easier and much more like community driven than
I was so lucky because I was there, right? So I saw it with my own eyes.
Yes.
The unfolding of this war machine of Microsoft. There was this tension of, you know, beating Amazon at their own game. It was 7 years ago. It was we had this mission of really, really demonstrate that Microsoft is serious about open source, about cloud, and it paid off, and they. And it definitely put Microsoft back on the map, and I'm proud and very, very grateful to be. You have been there, Microsoft joining the Linux Foundation, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, really being serious about cloud native, and now it worked. So
I agree. The post-Balmer era is definitely a different world for Microsoft. All right, let's get back to CubeSpaces because I'm looking at the time, we're at 17. How does you said it's I think it's a shared resource, right? You see the Kubernetes as a multi-tenant application. So how does isolation work between customers? Because I think that is probably like a good question for a lot of security concerned people.
yeah. So of course, like in the first incarnation would be a pure play SaaS where shared tenants. I mean, it's a infrastructure shared among customers. That's by design. The first iteration, there would be more probably where we can offer like a dedicated clusters to specific customers. But in the beginning, it will be based on mix of technologies between Bcluster and Firecracker, which ensure better isolation of your workload. So it is indeed one piece of infrastructure where you can, where multiple customers will throw their application, but we won't be able to see each other, right? Because everybody gets his own API endpoint for Kubernetes API, so you don't need to, you will not be able. Airbuck is great, and it works, of course, and it's an arcane magic thing, and it's an arcane knowledge, of course, to properly do Airbuck. It's quite difficult. So instead of risking to make a mistake in some cluster role or role, and then everybody can see everything, you better have isolation between tenants. And that comes with a popular project like Bcluster, which has been really around for 5 years, so that's some knowledge there already. And even an other layer of isolation, things like Kata containers and Firecracker, they provide much better isolation at the container runtime level. So you even if you escape from the container, from the jail of the container, you only can see very limited view of the world, and you cannot see the rest of the infrastructure. So that that's the idea of isolating workloads between customers. You could find, of course, like flaws in it, but we will take care of it, and we will have all the monitoring in place to prevent it. And it's a learning experience. Like we want to prove that to ourselves first and to customers that we can do this, right? So
right. Okay. For the sake of time, a very well, I think because you're still building this thing out, it may be very interesting for you to talk about that. I think right now it's most like a one person thing. So if you're looking for somebody to help with that, now is your time to ask for people.
Yeah. If the ideas resonate and you want to build a product together, it's I do need back-end engineer, front engineers, or just enthusiastic people that believe in idea. It's my first shot at building a product or building a startup, of course, that I've been building other businesses before, consulting and even a co-working space called Cloud Pirates. But now I want to take a shot at building a product. And see how it goes. The idea is sound. There's some real need in the market, so it's just a matter of building it, build something that people want. So don't start from your ideas, but just listen to what people tell you to build, and see how it goes. So yeah, I'll be very happy to talk about it and to accept other people's ideas.
Perfect. Last question, something I always have to ask people. What do you think will be the next big thing in Kubernetes? Is it the namespace as a service, or do you see anything else as well?
It's very hard. If I knew, of course, like in last KubeCon in Paris, of course, the trends are clear. There's AI. There's this feeding into AI, but also helping AI thrive. From cloud native, right? So this dual relationship with the Gen AI and the new trends in computing, which is very important. But of course, if you ask people, there will be WebAssembly on the horizon, not replacing containers, but definitely become a thing. And so there are trends, right? So and that's great about this community and these technologies that. It's never boring, right? So there's always something new to learn, and I'm personally trying to learn every day. And if it's not WebAssembly, it's trying to stay updated. It's fun, and challenge your conviction, your knowledge every day. So this idea from Microsoft that I learned about growth mindset, what you should know now is never enough. You have to think ahead. And it's a beautiful thing to see, right? So it's something that keeps me every day. Now I'm learning a lot of on-premise as well. There's also a trend to move workloads back to the data centers. There are reasons for it. And one trend is actually one very important one, and I want to shout out to the people in the Netherlands also working on it. Is green computing or environmental sustainability of software and infrastructure. So within the CNCF, there is the technical advisory group environmental sustainability, which I'm collaborating with. We are running the environmental sustainability week in October. So worldwide events all around, getting the software we all love and care to run greener and leaner and less carbon intense. And this is not just our community, but it's the whole planet involved, right? So or at least should be concerned for everybody concerned about the future of us. And I mean, I have a few kids, so I have five kids, so it's something that concerns me a lot to leave a better place than I found it.
I think that is a beautiful last statement because we're running out of time. But in case you haven't seen the first episode of a podcast, that may be something for you because we actually talked to Rich Kenny from Interact And they work on data center sustainability, kind of doing the same thing on a hardware level. Really, really interesting for stuff. All right. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you. For the audience, next week, same time, same place. And I hope you're listening again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io